I am Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And landing that 747 on the moon, no problem.
And according to the National Enquirer, it's still there.
It's still there. Yeah, it's for sale now, too, yeah, I hear.
Probably.
It's right next to the restaurant on the moon. You know,
yeah,
good
the McDonald's.
Food, no atmosphere.
Oh.
Da-dum-bum.
Wow, I just walked into that.
Boy, did you ever.
Anyway, on to the reason we're here.
Which is?
To introduce Keith Clark.
Right, from Phillips 66.
You know, it used to be Phillips 65, but they
inflation.
Grew a little.
Inflation.
Yeah, inflation.
It used to be 77.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hi. Thanks for inviting me, and look forward to talking to you guys.
All right.
Well, we were talking yesterday with you, and we were talking about verifying your fuel. Make sure you got the right go juice in your aircraft. And we touched briefly on a subject yesterday. This whole thing got started because Bob Hoover had a problem with this.
Yeah, back in 1978, you know, May 25th out in California at an air show, they put jet fuel in his Shrike aircraft, and he crashed right off takeoff.
Oof. Ow.
Yeah, it's usually when you find out about it. The theory is that the Jet A lowers the octane rating of the avgas, and the engine detonates, and then it really detonates.
Well, and I guess it took a few minutes to use up the last of the avgas in the fuel lines.
Right.
Until the Jet A got to the engine.
Yeah, about 23 seconds probably. Because by the time he realized he had a problem, he knew he was in trouble. And good thing there's a ravine at the end of that runway. And Bob Hoover, being the great pilot he is, he knew if he tried to turn back, he was going to crash. He actually landed that aircraft at about a 45-degree angle on the side of that ravine. Destroyed the aircraft, but they walked away from it. They were slightly injured.
Wow.
We'll take that any time.
Dad, yeah, I bet he was a little bent that day.
Actually, he went back to the airport, and he asked to talk to the person that fueled the aircraft. And he looked out there at this fence, and there was a young man, 21 years old, I think, with tears in his eyes. And Bob walked up to him and told him, hey, there's no man that hasn't made a mistake, but I know you're not going to make this mistake again. And that's why they came out with the Hoover nozzle, because they almost killed the greatest pilot ever. But keep in mind, a mechanical Hoover nozzle, bigger than an avgas, put restrictor plates in, but we still have misfuelings today because we don't communicate and verify.
Well, not only that, but you got to consider that there's more fuel being used in aviation, more types of fuel in aviation. There are guys out there flying on premium mogas.
Those guys probably do their own fueling, though.
It could very well be, but still.
If you think about it, you're never taught to verify fuel in any other discipline. You don't do that with a car or a motorcycle or any of that stuff.
Well, actually, you do it because you fuel in your own car. You're not going to go put diesel. That happens also at the gas station.
Yeah.
You know, people that have a diesel truck put diesel in their car. You know, I kind of tell people, pilots, hey, if you walk into a restaurant and you look at the waitress and you're hungry, you don't just say, I'm hungry. You actually tell them what you want. You tell them what you want to eat that day. And that's the same thing we need to do as we go into an airport. We need to communicate the fuel type. 100LL, Jet A with FSI additive. Pilots and FBOs, people don't talk anymore. We have to get back. And that's what we're talking about down at the Phillips tent at tent number 430, just south of the AOPA tent. We also have packets available because I can't talk to every FBO. I can't talk to every pilot, but there's thousands and thousands of pilots here. So we're here handing out packets for you to take back to your FBOs to help spread the word. Join the movement to get people talking and communicating again.
And I guess, you know, you can probably make some assumptions. You say if it's a piston airplane, the line boy can say, well, it's probably going to get 100 low lead. But the home builds and all the other stuff that are around. And
well, keep in mind what happens when you make assumptions. When you assume stuff, nothing good comes. It's the pilot's responsibility to communicate. I tell FBO people, I do training all across America with NATA, preventmisfueling.com. But I tell them, if a pilot comes up to you and says, top it off, that's not a fuel order. You look at that pilot and you say, please confirm fuel type. The pilot needs to tell us. We've had situations where a pilot's landed, and they've told us jet fuel. The young man looked at him and said, jet fuel? And the guy said, yeah. And he goes, sir, this is a Cessna 421. The pilot looked at him and said, what are you talking about? It's my King Air. He said, turn around and look at it. He turns around and goes, oh, man, I fly the King Air every day, but today they put me in the 421. We're all humans. We all make mistakes. That's what Bob Hoover said. Everybody makes a mistake. Bob Hoover made a mistake that day. But we have to learn from our mistakes and make sure we don't make that mistake again. And other people need to learn. And that's why we're out here talking about this.
It's a subject that you wouldn't think needs to be talked about. But I guess I'm wrong about that.
Well, yeah. You know, yeah. The other thing, too, take into account, the line personnel. Maybe, this may be a nugget lineman, a brand newbie. And he doesn't know to look for the differences between a turbine aircraft and a piston aircraft.
But he shouldn't have to.
Right. Agreed.
He should know, but we want to hear it from the pilot. The chances of two people making a mistake are less than one person making a mistake.
Right. Because you've got one backing the other up.
Yeah, you're talking, you're communicating. And that's the whole concept of save a life, verify fuel. Let's make sure that we communicate. You know, we don't just land at an airport without permission. You know, we communicate, we talk. So why do we do that with fuel? Why do we assume we know what kind of fuel goes in that airplane? We have to work together.
You have the Hoover nozzle, and if your airplane is in any kind of decent shape, you have the placards around the fuel nozzle telling you what it is, and then the pilot confirms it with the line person, and hopefully that breaks the chain of events that could lead to an accident.
Last night I walked around after the show ended at 5. I walked out and looked at all the airplanes, not all of them, but I probably looked at 200 or 300 that are parked out here with tents. I would venture to say 50% of the aircraft I looked at last night either had faded or no decals on the wings.
Wow.
That should be changed. The only way we're going to prevent misfuelings. There's been two that I know of misfueled this year. There's been four other ones that were misfueled but never took off. I mean, people don't talk about mistakes, but we need to talk about it. And that's why we're out here talking to pilots, trying to re-get them engaged to say, hey, we have to work together. And we've had thousands of pilots come by, take these packets, and take them back to their FBOs. I had one pilot tell me yesterday, give me 3 or 4 because I'm going to fly home to California and I'm going to stop. And I'm going to drop them off at different FBOs. That's what we need. We have to work together. We have to quit assuming because people die when you assume.
So the takeaway I get is that the line boy should always ask the pilot what type of fuel he wants.
Please confirm fuel type.
Yeah.
Now, I always figured that since that accident with Bob and the Hoover nozzle program and everything, I always thought that this problem was solved, but obviously it isn't.
You know, when we came up with that, we thought, hey, Bob Hoover went around in the 80s and 90s and said, we got a mechanical way to fix this. But there's a lot of aircraft that are being converted to turbine engines, and they still have the small nozzles. This helicopter's being built. The incident, you know, where somebody could put one at a 45-degree angle and fueled it. There's a lot of aircraft that look like turbine airplanes, but they're actually pistons. So we have to get back. There's no thing that's going to stop it except communication and verification. And that pilot should look at that ticket and make sure that it says the type of fuel he bought. These misfuelings that have happened, the credit card receipt said jet fuel. He signed it. You know, it's a tragedy, and that's what we're trying to stop.
Automatically assumed that the plane was fueled with the required fuel when it wasn't.
Right.
Definite recipe for disaster.
And a lot of pilots fly both turbine aircraft and piston, so they forget which one they're in. Everybody's
right.
In a hurry. We've
right.
got to slow down.
Yep.
Yep, pay attention to the details.
Maybe not slow down, but like my brother just said, pay attention to the details because they will bite you.
Yes, exactly. And we're going to be talking Friday morning at 8:30 at the forum number 5. We're going to tell the Bob Hoover, the strike, and the mistake. We're going to talk about this, so come on out and join us for that.
Okay. Where are you guys at? Where's Phillips 66 on the field?
We're at tent number 430. We're just south of the AOP tent on the flight line. We've got a big tent and we've got handouts, and we would love pilots to come by and take one and help us spread the word to every FBO across America, Canada, wherever. You know, we'll give them, Phillips has given away these decals. There's a little poster, and we'll have an order form in there that they can order additional ones if they need it.
I predict a surge in the wing mount decals that go around the fuel fill.
I'm certainly hoping so.
Yeah.
You can get them anywhere. I've seen them in several aviation catalogs.
Yep, you can get them at Spruce Aircraft. You can get them anywhere. Get those decals. Look at your aircraft and make sure they have a good decal on it.
You know, for that matter, you can go and get one of these new label makers, and you can make your own.
Yeah.
Put it on the wing there so it doesn't happen.
Yeah, but Go Juice is not a recognized fuel type.
Yeah, true.
All right. I want to thank you for joining us. This is an issue that you wouldn't think is a big issue, but it is a big issue.
It is.
And it's an easy one to fix.
It is, if we just communicate.
Yep. It doesn't require any modifications to the airplane. Just pay attention.
And pilots love that because it's cheap.
That's right. It's a cheap fix. All right. Thank you, sir, for joining us. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.